We have been following the footsteps of the Apostle Paul and his travels in Europe. Remember that it was never in his plan, and how God revealed to him through that man of Macedonia. And in his obedience, he has come into Europe, continental Europe, the great continent. And now our latest is we are with him in the city of Thessalonica, part of modern Greece. And there he encounters suffering. This is the theme this morning. Suffering in a Christian's life. What is the meaning of it? Especially in those who are doing God's will, such as Paul the Apostle. Please turn with me to the Epistle to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we shall read parts of it so that we may be instructed in what the Lord has for us, for you and for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. This letter, 1 Thessalonians, was written by Paul to the church in Thessalonica, which he had established. This letter was very important. Why was it? Because, having founded the church, he had to flee for his life. And now he was in Athens, far away. Will the congregation there think, hey, what's happened to Paul? Why has he not come back? But because of the circumstances, and we are going to follow him, what he's got to say to the people who have responded to his gospel message. Verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Here the apostle says, writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica, you are witnesses, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved among you. This is to remind the people, because there may have been some doubts about this man, Paul. Why has he run away? Of course, they knew of the persecution that came his way, and he had to run, to flee for his life. This is part of the suffering we are talking about this morning. So here Paul writes and says, dear friends in the church of Thessalonica, you are a witness to my lifestyle when I was with you. In case, because of the enemies who have been spreading things about me, I want to remind you that you knew how I lived with you, amongst you. How it was a holy life, and how important it is if we want to influence and to witness, hoping for those of our unbelieving friends that they will take note. How will they take note? Not by what you say just, more important by how you live. Paul says, you are witnesses, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved among you that believe. Verse 11 there. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, even as a father, his own child. How is that possible? Please remember, here is a Jew. And most of the congregation are Greeks, strangers, whom he never knew until he came along. But they have received the word of the gospel, so that now they become like family. And because of the circumstances, here Paul has to defend himself and to remind them how he lived among them, faultless. I say, dear friends, our lives are booked more than God's word. That's what the hymn, How We Live for Jesus. People are not going to read the Bible because of you, but people read you, how you live. Paul says, you all know how I live, and I speak to you even as like a father to the children. Verse 12, it is my prayer and hope that you would walk worthy of God. Ever since you have heard the gospel, turn from idols to worship the one true living God. This is still the message we need. For many of our relatives, for example, I had one yesterday come to the house, and she's 88, and she's very fervent about her idols, how she must serve the idols. Now, what do you do with her? I ask you, what would you do? Of course, you witness. Of course, you give her the word of God. But most important is, she wants to know and to see how you live. Verse 12, and we walked worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom. Ye have heard and believed. Now, I'm writing you this letter to remind you that you do not forsake your faith. Verse 13. This is a very important and critical verse, and it contains a great truth and principle of doctrine. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing. Ever since we came to you and knew you and preached to you and observed your response. Carry on with this verse now, please. It says here, because when you received the word of God from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, God's word, which effectually works also in you that believe. Now here is a great truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So says the same Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture. Here is scripture. Yes, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, when you received this word, when you first heard the words we spoke to you, you received it as it were God's word. And that is a powerful word when it is God's word. And you believed, oh dear friends. Do you know that when we speak the words out of the word of God, They are God's word, and your hearers will be touched if it reflects how you live. Yes, they read your life more than God's word. Verse 14. Now 14 and 15 are the key verses for today. Talking about suffering. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered like things of your countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. What is this all about? He says to them, ever since you believe, you are in the company of the Christians in Judea, back home. This is addressing mainly to the Jewish believers. Verse 15, who had killed the Lord of Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. This is the suffering that comes the way in those days. Please understand, dear friends, we have an adversary called the devil. And he is a wily foe, very cunning and deceptive. In those circumstances, he used persecution. Today, he doesn't use persecution in Singapore much. Do you see? What is his main tool in Singapore, do you know? We have a wily foe, an enemy of our souls. And he varies his tactics, strategy, from place to place. In those days, persecution. You believe in Jesus, we'll do this and this and this to you. Today in Singapore, different tactics. What tactics does the devil use? Oh, they will put so many things to attract you so that you are dazzled by the things of the world and you say, what's the use of being a Christian? Why should I not go and enjoy myself on the Sunday? Why not? These are the temptations today, different from what we are talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, about the ways of the devil in those days. Right? So we have to be careful and beware and alert ourselves. Here is an evening service for you, 6:30, 6 o'clock. 5:30 is Singspiration. Why should I come? I've come in the morning, and there are so many other things, and I'm tired anyway. These are the tactics. Do you know? Do you understand? Of course, I need the rest. Why should I sleep in the afternoon? Why should I come to church again? So these are the temptations that we ought to wake up and know. You say, well, what does it matter if I don't go to the evening service? Dear friends, let me explain to you. One day, one year, one lifetime, and this becomes your way of life. The children see it, they stop coming. In no time, why come to church at all? Once we lose the love of the Lord and the love of His day and the love of His law, and we go the way of the world, this is it. You've lost the battle. Do you follow? In those days, of course, they didn't use a lot of pleasure and other attractions, but today it's different. Verse 15. The tactic they used was to kill the Lord Jesus, and in so doing, fulfill the will and plan of God, for in the killing there was the shedding of the blood of the Lamb and the forgiveness of our sins. And their own prophets, they have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now verses 17 to 20 has much for us to learn. Please follow. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, here Paul is explaining why he is absent. It's important for them to know that Paul had to flee for his life, and now he is in Athens, far from Thessalonica. But we, brethren, please understand, verse 17, are taken from you for a short time because I want to come back. I want to see you. I want to be back with you so that we can have fellowship and I can speak the word of God to you in person. However, I could not be present, endeavored the more abundantly to see you, your face, and with great desire. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Yes, Satan put spokes in the wheel and prevented Paul from going back because of the hostility of the Jews. As I prepared this message and as I read of the persecution that came the way of Paul, how I thank God in all my 30 years of missions, especially to Indonesia, Philippines, Australia, I have never met anything like what Paul met. You know that? Yes. In all the reports you have read, every place God has opened doors and facilitated the mission work. But in this case, there was trouble and trouble and trouble in every place. Wherever he went, recall in the first stop, Philippi, how there was a great riot because the divining girl, a young lady that could tell fortunes, but Paul exercised and the demon left her and she became useless. And because of that, there was rioting. So that he could had to stop in that work, and they put him into prison, but God saved him. Trouble and trouble. Thank God, in all my years I've never been put into prison. Although in Perth, 3 times, the immigration stopped me and said, what are you doing here in Perth? Are you working? Are they paying you a salary? Etc., etc. Well, that is only such a minor little interruption in my travels. No troubles of any kind like Paul being beaten, thrown into prison, legs being cuffed, and in the maximum security, how the devil varies his tactics from place to place. Here, the Apostle Paul says, I wanted to come back, but Satan hindered me. There were obstructions. I say, dear friends, you have not yet tasted the wiliness and the evil plans and plots of Satan, how he hindered Paul. But I say, as we talk of Paul, thank God. Do you know that Paul was the one who was looking after the clothes of those who stoned Stephen? Yes. He was consenting while the rest stoned and killed and murdered Stephen, the first martyr. There was Paul, at that time called Saul, consenting to his death. This same Saul, God had earmarked him for deliverance, to be called to be a servant of God. Oh, how marvelous is our God. Do you know him? Now we read and we conclude this message. Verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you? Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And here he is concluding this chapter. He says, look, here we are separated from you, wanting to come back to see you, but Satan hindered us again and again. We could not come to see you, but in our hearts, you are most precious to us, to me. Are not, please follow verse 19, the second part. Are not even you, how precious you are in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming again. We talked much about the Lord Jesus' return, but you know, from the time of Paul, he was already expecting and hoping that the Lord Jesus would come again. And if he did so, the most glorious thing and the most amazing joy that he will receive is the Christians in Thessalonica. I would say this, dear friends, even as this congregation is dear to me, I would say, at the throne of grace where Jesus returns, I would say, we all will value each other, even as Paul says here. What is our verse 19? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Only you. You are. So I say, dear friends, serving the Lord has its rewards. And here it is. Are not even you saving souls, bringing in believers to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, will be our glory and our joy together. You will rejoice in us, I will rejoice in you. So this is, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of suffering, we have a glorious hope to look forward to, even the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may understand thy word and how the suffering of Paul worked for a much greater glory and rejoicing in the day of Jesus Christ, that we may labor together and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.